When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
I'll tell you something I fall victim to a lot is an inappropriate sense of machismo from being extraordinarily busy all the time. It feels good to say to people, oh man, I'm just so busy. I'm sorry I missed that email because I'm always working. I'm working night and day. I'm working all the time. And I had a wake-up call recently when I was talking to a friend who I was trying to coordinate a workshop appearance from a cartoonist friend of mine to appear at the Ann Arbor District Library for one of our, what's called Comics Artists Forum events that happen every Sunday. And this friend of mine said, I don't work on Sundays. So I give myself a day off at least once a week. And at first, I had this feeling of, oh, really? Wow, who takes a day off? Come on, you know, you're an American, you work hard all the time. And they're coming back to that sense of machismo, right? That sense of virility, because you're always working, and you never give yourself a break. But that lit off a little bit of a light bulb that, you know, maybe I would do well to take a day off. But after November, after 30 classes in 30 days, which you may have heard of if you've been listening to the Thunder Punch Daily podcast, I found myself quickly thinking that I was going to go to ground and get reorganized and get focused on comics work again. But there were so many loose ends from so many different projects going on at the same time that it quickly spiraled out of control. And I had this don't tip the waiter moment. What I'm referring to, for those who don't know what I'm talking about, there was a game in the 80s, maybe the 70s and 80s, called Don't Tip the Waiter, where it was a balancing cardboard waiter, and you just put different pieces of plastic food on his tray and try to keep him from tipping over one way or the other. So it's a pun in the name. But I felt like that guy. I felt like I was kind of careening back and forth, and things were starting to fall off of the tray on my hand. And between that and the thing that my friend said about having a Sunday where they just don't work and they actually get to recharge, I thought, man, I could probably use that. And it was a big light bulb moment for me that I needed to once again reassess how I'm organizing my time and my workload. And, you know, not so much like, you know, trimming the fat, trimming out the projects that don't need to happen, but how can I rearrange these things and better coordinate these things so that I'm getting more done? The crisis happened mid-December. I'm bringing everybody up to speed because I haven't done a show in a long time. The crisis happened in mid-December, where I worked a 9-hour day, and at the end of that day, I felt like I had nothing done. And I was working hard that 9 hours, but I was working on a little bit of this, a little bit of that, back and forth. And I know I did an episode of this show, this microcast, where I talked about how I'll use my multitude of projects to distract me. So when I get bored doing one thing, I can just quickly switch to doing another thing. But this was a moment where I've encountered the negative aspect of doing that, in the sense that I did a lot of things. I worked on a lot of things, but only incrementally on a lot of things at once. And there was the sense of, oh my gosh, I don't feel like there's anything concrete to show for this amount of time. Now, that's just part of the psychology of being a creative person, is that you do wind up just chip away at stuff slowly. But the fact that there was no record, there was nothing that I could see concretely to see that I had been chipping away at stuff, led me to a little bit of a crisis where I felt like everything's falling apart and it's time to pull it all in and go at this thing anew. And this is where this one is going to be less of an essay where I have any kind of, you know, a way of thinking about it. I'm going to share what's been happening to me and you can glean what you want from this. But as usual with being a human being, I only decided to fix this thing and really take positive steps to fix this thing when I was at my lowest point. You know, it's always when you're in crisis mode that you finally go, okay, I'll try something new. And for months, my wife, Anne, was trying to convince me to start using this thing called the Emergent Task Planner by David Say. Now, David Say is a blogger. He's a time management guy, a productivity guy. It runs a very popular blog at davidsay.com. I'll link to it in the show notes. And he has this free thing you can download and print, and it's called the Emergent Task Planner. And what it is it's a way to sort of concretize the to-dos that you have to do, you know, like, and I've said before that I like to use a lot of digital to-do applications like Nosby, and I use that in conjunction with Evernote, and I do a lot of this stuff on my phone. Like whenever I'm at a meeting and got to jot down a quick thing that I have to do, I'll use either the Reminders app on my phone, or I'll use Nosby with some kind of a notification to send me an email, or Wunderlist is another one that I use sometimes. So send me an email on this date to let me know that this thing needs to be done. And it's great because then you hit the checkbox and the thing's done and it just vanishes. It goes away, you're done. But you don't have a concrete record showing what you had accomplished. And another thing is I found it got really hard when you have like 10 or 15 things all going on at once. How do you prioritize those things? When I started my days, I would look at I'd go through my mental Rolodex or my mental checklist of all the stuff that needs to be done. And I thought, oh my gosh, what do I do first? What do I take on first? And it's 15 minutes of panic almost, of just running back and forth going, what should I take on? And then I was remembering what Ann said about the emergent task planner. And this goes back to some GTD, getting things done, David Allen kind of stuff about dumping out all the stuff on a piece of paper to get it out of your system so you don't have to think about it anymore. Now it's on the paper. And now you can go through and figure out from that list what needs to be prioritized. And the great thing about the emergent task planner too that I found, so I finally did try it, and I've been doing it for about a week now, and I've got some observations on this, is that it asks you to pick the three major tasks, the three things that are going to take the most time, and so now you're prioritizing. These are the three things I want to accomplish today. And then there's three other spots for, if you have time, here's some other things that you got to do too. And then there's an area that says, and I'll link to this in the show notes so you can look at it for yourself, but this is an area that says, what else is going on today? And this is an area to add anything else that occurs to you throughout the day. Like, oh yeah, in addition to these other things, I also have to remember to do this. Or here's something that came in while I was working today. You know, I got a call or an email from somebody, and adding it to the list. And then on the left column is a breakdown of your workday in terms of hours, and then in terms of 15-minute increments. And so you mark in, okay, I'm going to start my day at 10 a.m., and then every hour afterwards, 11, 12, 1, 2, and so on. And you just mark off, okay, so at 10 a.m., well, I'll break out one of mine right now, and I can go through a little bit of what this has been like. So I just finished, thanks to tracking my time, I managed to finish thumbnailing a new project that I wanted to start drawing next year. And now the thumbnails are done, I can actually start penciling it. And so my day started at 10 a.m. and I just wrote thumbnails. And then the first 15 minutes, first round of small thumbnails. And then by 11:30, I was at the final thumbnails. By noon, I was at page 20. And I keep checking off each 15 minutes as I'm going. Now, I'm not doing this, I'm not referring to this thing every 15 minutes, but you know, I'm checking in on it every once in a while. Like, oh, I notice it's 12:30. Well, what have I done over the last hour or so? And I'd mark it on the list. By 1 o'clock, I'd finished scanning. And by 1:45, I had finished the thumbnails altogether, and they were posted for my co-creator on this to look at and approve of. And so then it's time to move on to the next thing on my top three list. So what is this all about? The value I found in this is that, A, I'm dumping all of my ideas that need to get done over the course of the day on a piece of paper so I don't have to think about it before I go to bed. I don't have to stay up all night stressing out about, okay, what do I have to do tomorrow? What am I going to do first? Oh man, I got an appointment at 3 p.m. How am I going to fit in everything before 3 p.m.? Now I can chart it all out on a timeline and really break it down to, okay, I'm not going to have time for project B, but project A, I've estimated it's going to take a couple hours. I can slide that in before my appointment and so on. And then as I'm checking it off, I can also, and this is the second observation I've got, is I can get a sense of what my abilities are in terms of estimating how much time these things take. I found out very quickly. I thought I was being very generous in allowing myself 3 hours for something, or 4 hours for something. So for instance, the thumbnails that I had set up on my timesheet to do, I said, it should take me 3 hours. It took me 3.75 hours to do altogether. So now I have a better sense when I'm planning my next day that, okay, what I think is going to take 3 hours is probably going to take four, and so on. And what's going to take four is going to probably take five. So I can better estimate and better plan for my days. And also, I mean, this is just a dumb little psychological trick. It also makes me beholden to this piece of paper to say, hey, dude, you said that by this time you're going to get this done. Now, we could do this in our heads. We could do this in our heads easily, or we could do this on a digital thing. But when I'm sitting at an art desk and drawing, to have that piece of paper there is a much clearer and more immediate reminder than having to pull up a website and then run the risk of, oh, while I'm here, I can check my email. While I'm here, I can look at Twitter real quick. This also forced me to close the laptop and just keep focused on that work that was in front of me. And I felt like I got a lot more done. Or at the very least, what I have is I have a piece of paper that demonstrates. I have a list in front of me that says, here's all the stuff I did today. So even if I didn't finish it, like for instance, today. So today I was working on thumbnails for the new front book. And it was not coming easy to me. It was, it was being brutal. And I don't have any solid observations on that yet. My gut is telling me that it's because I'm overthinking it. And because I'm so concerned with finding that emotional through line for each and every one of the characters, that I'm hesitating too much. I'm kind of choking while I'm trying to write these guys who I care about so much. Whereas writing new characters, there's this sense of discovering the character as you go, so you can kind of be more playful with it. But with something where I've invested so much of my life into these characters, maybe I'm being a little bit more cautious. And I'm Xing out a lot of stuff. I finished six pages of thumbnails and said, this is all wrong, start over, and I started over. Now, I started to feel kind of bad about that. I started to feel kind of like, oh man, maybe, you know, because we all face this as creators. I don't know about you guys out there, but something I face from time to time is whenever it starts going a little rotten, then that self-doubt kicks in. Oh my gosh, I'm no good at this thing after all. Even though just days before I finished, a 30-page book, thumbnailing a 30-page book that I'm really happy with, and I feel it was really solid. 2 days later, here I am thumbnailing again, and it, just because it gets a little hard, oh no, maybe I'm no good at this thing after all. Well, hold on a second, Jers. Let's look at the timesheet here. You pumped in you put in a good 3.5 hours on this thing. And yeah, you don't have a whole lot to show for it in terms of work that you can use, but you put a lot of ideas down on paper. You wrote for 3.5 hours straight without taking a break. And then I also have the other tasks that I, you know, had to check off for today, like getting a couple other different teaching work done, and some other comic stuff. So I don't want to turn into one of those people who, you know, they face a crisis, they find a solution, and now this is the solution for everything. But, you know, this did kind of help me get back on track, and I'm finding it useful so far for tracking my day and getting a better sense of how to plan my day accordingly. It's getting me to the desk faster. I'm not being so sluggish about sitting in front of that desk when I've got writing to do, because what's the worst 15 minutes of your day is when you're getting geared up to write, right? It's having that piece of paper that says, it's like more like a job then, right? It's like, I got this piece of paper that says 10 a.m. I'm going to be writing. Well, now I'm writing. And again, I don't want to look at this as any kind of like a something where now I'm a slave to some kind of system. What I'm hoping is that this can be training wheels to get me into a sense of a habitual rhythm with my workday. But also, like I said, you know, it's really great for, so far I'm finding it's really great for estimating my time and moving things around. Because like, this, I'm recording this in the week between Christmas and New Year's, and a lot of friends are in town, and I'm getting, this is a good problem to have, right, is that, you know, people care about you and they want to see you, so there's a lot of knocking on my door lately, a lot of visiting going on, which is interrupting my workday, you know, so I'm working 4 hours in the morning, and then I get a visit from somebody, and then like 3 hours in the afternoon. How do you structure your day around that? When I wasn't writing the stuff down, a visit like that would just kill my day, because the hour before the person arrived, I'd be like, well, I can't do anything now because I don't know how long it's going to take and I can't fit anything in this hour. Well, might as well just go upstairs and read a magazine or something while I wait for them to get here. But using that task planner, I was able to say, well, this thing should only take about 45 minutes. I can slide that in. Helps me to visually, this is something I've talked about a lot in the past, is that I find it's more useful in managing your time to visualize your time in some way or another. And so this is just a new one for me that I hadn't tried yet, and it seems to be doing okay. Other things to bring people up to speed, and this is where, again, this isn't like some kind of cohesive essay. It's more of a just sort of catching up with you guys after not doing a Thunder Punch in a long time. I'm also messing around with some different kinds of ways of distributing my content. So One of the things that I plan on doing with the new Sugary Cereals relaunch is I'm going to continue, start up again, doing the Jared Cran comics. If I'm going to do a front comic again, hey, why not do a Jared Cran comic every once in a while, too, in conjunction with that? It's part of the whole publishing package, I guess. You know, Jared's a character in the front, and the Jared comic was meant to be a sideline project with that. And if we're going to be seeing Jared again in the comic, why not see some of Jared's comics? But I thought about what I was going to do with that. And one of the things I've been thinking about hard is how the landscape of web publishing has changed just a little bit in the last couple of years. It used to be, at least the common wisdom was in the last couple of, or last 5 years, was you got to have a dedicated website and you have to drive people to that website. And then you get a lot of page views and then you can sell advertising against it. Or you can sell your books from there. But anyway, you have a destination site, and that's why you got to update on a regular basis and so on. But things have changed a lot in the last couple of years in the sense that social media has come into the picture. And something I've been saying for the last couple of years, ever since Twitter came along, is, gosh, I don't know if it's really necessary to have a regular update schedule, an announced, explicit update schedule. Because you can let your constituency know, because they're probably following you either on Facebook, Twitter, or Google Plus or wherever. So you just send out a message on those things, and that will point people back at your site. But here's another thing that came up since Google Plus came along, and it has that great image viewer on it. Like if you upload an album of photos, like for instance, I put several of my comics on there and completely on there. Like the front Rebirth is on there, and it's on Google Plus in its entirety. The reading experience in Google Plus is great. And Ken Drab, you can find him on Google Plus, he recently decided that he was going to mirror his entire webcomic site on Google Plus as well. I know I've talked about this in other places. And to summarize his essay on that, you can go read it for yourself by just searching for Ken Drab on Google Plus. He said that, you know, a website is a, this is using kind of hip common lingo in the internets, it's a pull mechanism. You know, you're pulling readers into your website. Come look at the thing I did. But social media is a push mechanism. People decide to follow you, and then your messages are just pushed to their feed. Sort of like RSS, but, you know, I don't know how many people use RSS. I mean, I know a lot of people who do, but anyway. So by mirroring his webcomic on his Google Plus page, he's reaching new audiences, and he's pushing the comics to them by having it just appear in their feeds. Instead of asking them to come to his website by posting a link, like on Twitter or on Facebook, come look at the thing I did. Now he's just saying, here's the comic, putting it right in front of you. That's an interesting idea. That got me thinking. And then I also got thinking about Tumblr and how Tumblr is a site that images get passed around a lot. On Tumblr. I did a dopey crayon drawing of the fat unicorn joke between me and Casey Van Heist of wintersandlavelle.com. And it got circulated several hundred times. I mean, last time I checked, it was over 700 times. It was passed around, reblogged, and liked, and whatnot. And that got me thinking about how, I don't know about a long-form comic, but a webcomic strip, something that's like self-contained and kind of like a quick and easy joke. Gosh, it seems like that would do really well on a platform like Tumblr. So the Jared Cran comic, going back to that, that's exactly what the Jared Cran comic is. Four panels, self-contained gag. Really, you don't need any context. You don't need to know that this is a comic by the Abominable Snowman from the front, although that helps, but it's not absolutely necessary. It just comes across like a funny, weird, childlike comic, right? So, I'm gonna run it on Sugary Cereals. As a matter of fact, the archives are already up at sugarycereals.com. The site's not done yet. More on that later. But the other night, I decided, okay, well, I'm gonna, you know, customize a Tumblr installation, and I bought the domain mejared.com, pointed at that, and just uploaded the archives to that. And I have yet to do the htaccess redirect on the old Jared site to like push whatever existing readers were there to the new Tumblr site. But I didn't make any noise about it. I didn't tell anybody. I didn't post anything on Tumblr or on my regular Tumblr feed or Twitter or Facebook. I didn't let anybody know that I was doing this. I just decided, let's just put the images up. And this is where I took some advice from another, I want to say it was Meg Brennan of School of World, but I could be wrong. But I took some advice from somebody who said that tagging is everything on Tumblr because people search for images that are interesting to them, and if your tag is in their search, they'll find your image. So I went through all these Jared comics, and like some of them were like, Jared goes to the zoo with Orange Guy, and then a vampire pops out for no reason. He goes, blah, blah. And then an elephant pops out and says, you know, be scary. And the vampire says, but I have peanuts. And then it ends in this very silly childlike way with Jared and Orange Guy and the vampire on the back of the elephant saying, yay. And the elephant's smiling. Silly little jokey thing. Not the most sophisticated gag in the entire world, but that's the point. But I tagged it. I tagged it vampire, elephant, zoo, abominable snowman, Jared, orange guy, peanuts, anything that appeared in there, I tagged it with that. And I did that for all of the archives that I posted. Now, again, not telling anybody about it at all. Within a couple hours of having done this, all of a sudden I was getting reblogs and follows on there and likes from a bunch of people that I don't know. These were not people who were following my regular Tumblr account, but they were searching for elephants. They were searching for ghosts, dinosaurs, all the things that appeared in these Jared comics, and they started to pass them around. I thought, interesting. Now, again, it was just a couple of, you know, follows and reblogs, but that's without saying anything. So what happens if I start publicizing this and my friends start passing them around too? It got me thinking that Tumblr is a pretty good platform for the standalone jokey comic. And so I'm going to mirror the Jared comic on Tumblr. Like I said, I already started it. And I'm going to do the same for the front. And I think I'm going to do that for all of the web comics that I do, is that I'm going to mirror it on Google Plus, Tumblr, and my existing site. Now, somebody's going to say, well, aren't you diminishing traffic to your main site? Aren't you sort of taking away traffic from sugarycereals.com? I don't think so, because I'm just playing to different markets, different audiences. Now I have the audience of Tumblr who are not interested in going to sugarycereals.com, but I'm pushing the content to them. The people on Google Plus who follow me don't necessarily know or care about Sugary Cereals, but if they're following me there for other things I'm talking about, now they're going to see this comic stuff that I'm doing too. And perhaps I can push them back to the Sugary Cereals site. But it's not necessary. The important thing is to get them to love the comic so that when I do a book or sell an ebook or do something where there's a call to action of a way for them to support me, I just send out those calls on those different channels. So it feels weird to me as somebody who has been doing webcomics since 2003 that we'd enter this age where now you got to pump out webcomics on all these different channels. Maybe this is something that a lot of people have already been doing. I'm guessing a lot of people already did this. But it feels like a kind of a novel idea to me. And it certainly doesn't work with the idea of, well, I got to drive a lot of page views on my site so I can get a lot of advertising along with that traffic. But that's not the model I'm going to go for. The model I'm going to go for is let's make a bunch of content and then make it available in a variety of formats that people will pay money for. Let's get people to love the comic first and foremost. And let's make a good comic that people will fall in love with, and then just put it in as many places as possible. So then when, say, the Jared comic has enough pages, I can say, well, here's an ebook of all the Jared comics. Here's an ebook of the latest archive of the front. And then here's a link to get the print edition as well. And I'm going to be at this show if you want to come meet me and get the book signed and so on. So that was my other... I want to tack on one more observation about this, is that I'm already hearing in my head somebody saying, oh my gosh, that's a lot of posting to do. That's a lot of cross-posting to do. And you're right, it is. I just started messing around with Path, another social network that a lot of people got excited about. And I thought, oh man, I don't want to have to try to drag all my friends into this kind of thing, because all of us are suffering from social media overload. There's too many places to post. So one way that I've been dealing with this that I wanted to pass on to you guys and see what you think about it is Rob Stenzinger of interactive-storyteller.com and leadintoart.com. He pointed to me at Postgres as a really good solution for content management, just the CMS, as well as like a place to put your content. Like that's where we're hosting the Lean Into Art podcast right now. And one of the neat features of it is it's basically, you know, a Tumblr-like blog. It's a really simple interface. You can, one of the things that they traditionally promoted themselves, I've talked about this before on Thunder Punch Daily, as a matter of fact, they make a big fuss out of the fact that you can just email, you just send an email to it and it'll automatically format your post for you. But one of the cool things it has this auto post feature where you can write a post on there and you can have it automatically just pushed out to all of your different social media networks. You can have it sent to Twitter, you can have it sent to Facebook, you can have it even sent to Blogger, to your WordPress blog, you can have it sent to Vimeo, I don't know about YouTube, but there's a lot of different sites that you can have your blog post pumped out to. So in order to expedite some of this cross-posting that I have to do, what I've done is I use my my jerseydros.posterous.com, posterous.com, I should say, as the place to pump to my Blogger. Because it turns out when I looked at my Google Analytics, my Blogger site, which I hadn't used in well over a year and a half, was still getting a lot of traffic for some reason. Probably because Google's going to give it good page rank because it's a Blogger site. So if somebody searches for Jersey Drozd, my Blogger site would sometimes pop up before comicsaregreat.com, which is a little bit heartbreaking. But okay, let's roll with it. So I'll use Posterous to do a post of, hey, there's a new episode of Comics Are Great. Here's the video. I'll have that pumped to my Facebook and my Blogger and, you know, Twitter, and maybe even, you know, like if it's an appropriate post, to have it sent to Tumblr and my WordPress all at once. One post goes to all those places. Don't have to think about it anymore. But then the counter argument to that is, well, but you have to swim with the natives if you want your content to catch on, and whatever content management system you're using, you should, you know, actually engage with it in a native way. There's strength to that argument too, and sometimes I will just post directly to Tumblr, like with the Jared comic. That's how I'm going to do it. But in any case, that's using Posterous has been pretty helpful in managing all of the different networks for me. And if you're feeling that fatigue, it might be something you want to look into as well. It's free. It's easy to use. And if you're embedding a YouTube video, all you have to do is just post the link to the YouTube video. You don't even have to use the embed code. Just drop in the link to the YouTube page where the video appears, and it'll just automatically format it. It's pretty cool. So months ago, maybe even a year ago, I don't remember now, I was trying to evaluate what's better, Tumblr or Posterous, and they're both great for very different use cases. I find that very few people are going directly to my Posterous account to get to my content, but by using it to pump out to all my other places, my Blogger site is getting more traffic than ever, which is driving new traffic into Comics Are Great. So again, it's about just spreading it out as far as possible and getting people to love the content. And then, you know, you have all these different channels to send out messages if you want to try to monetize that content. One more thing I want to throw in about this. Some people are going to say, oh, Google doesn't like it when you have the same content posted everywhere. That, as far as I understand, that is absolutely true. So what I do is I do not use my Posterous to post to my Comics Are Great blog. I do a custom post with custom language if ever I'm talking about something that I want people to look at. I'll use the Posterous for my Tumblr and my Facebook because I don't care if those have high page ranks. If people are searching for me, I want them to land on comicsaregreat.com. I don't give a darn if they land on my Blogger or my other sub-sites. Those are for me to reach out to the audiences that are already there. So as long as the content is different, it has different words and, you know, different language or whatever on my own blog, then my blog won't be penalized. If my Posterous or my Tumblr are penalized in search rank, who cares at that point, right? So that's one way I've dealt with that whole situation of having the same blog post everywhere. Okay, that brings you guys almost up to speed on everything that's been going on with me. More to come. I feel like I'm getting a handle on my life again and on my workload again, and I'm excited about it. And I'll say that this is where I can do a call to action bit. If you want to give me a little bit of support, if you think this stuff is cool and you'd like me to do more of this Thunder Punch stuff, you can either, well, I'm not even going to say, don't go to iTunes and give me a star review for this show, because it's, you know, it's, this isn't the thing. This isn't the thing that I want to, you know, base my entire existence on. But I am really excited about leanintoart.com. And if you go to leanintoart.com/workshops, there's a whole bunch of workshops that you can get and download. And a lot of them are really, really good. Well, all of them are really, really good. But there's a couple really great ones that, you know, Brandon Dayton's Foundations of Dynamic Line Work, Kim Holmes' Digitally Organic Art, Krishna Sadasivam's 4-part series, Creating Crazy Characters. I participated in all those workshops. I sat in on them. And I learned a lot from that. And I know that you guys would probably enjoy it too if you love this kind of comics process stuff and getting under the hood of different ways of looking at making comics and visual storytelling. So that'd be a really great way you could help support me, because doing the Lean Into Art project is the most costly thing that I'm doing right now. And we're going to treat the workshop page as our sponsor for all the things that Rob and I do in the future. So we'll be mentioning it a lot. In the hopes that you guys will go and check it out and maybe tell a friend. So who am I? I'm Jersey Drozd, comicsaregreat.com, Jersey on the Twitters. Thanks so much for downloading and listening. Music for the show is by my brother Elliot Drozd of ElliotDrozd.com. E-L-I-O-T-T. One L, two T's. And the voiceover was by Tara Platt of TaraPlatt.com. And hosting for this show, audio hosting, is by Kablam, K-A-B-L-A-M.com. One-stop printing solution for independent comics publishers. They do great work. I get all of my books printed through them. And coming soon is their Indie Planet digital service, which you might want to keep an eye on because they're going to be selling digital editions of your books for you. So again, it truly will be a one-stop solution for independent comics publishers at that point. Okay, I'll be back soon with another Thunder Punch Daily. No, I really will. And but if I don't get back before the new year, Happy New Year, everybody. And until then, remember.
Today, Teela made a mistake, but instead of trying to correct it, she ran away. That was an even bigger mistake. Making mistakes is part of being human, but punishing yourself or quitting because of it is no way to make things better. The right thing to do is accept your error and try not to make that same mistake again. That's a lot smarter than running away. Until our next exciting adventure, goodbye for now.